God's awesome, isn't he? You know, they didn't think the Berlin Wall could come down, but it came down. Can you say amen? You might think there are walls that you've got, you know, going on. You don't think, know how they can come down. God. Amen? God is big. God is big. Amen? God is strong. That is a reflection of honors, reward, and other things related to ministry that are going on, of how God is working in lives. We started life classes, and one of the ones that we cycled through this past semester, it's got another week to go, is the marriage life class. And so and the one we went through is called Laughing Your Way Through Marriage. And I would like for Kay and Lyndon to come. And you might say, well, I didn't know they got married already. I thought it was later on. But the great thing is, they're getting this material before they get married. And so that way, they'll be much greater prepared to experience marriage together. So a beautiful foundation is being built. And then when they get married in April, come on, guys. Look at that beautiful couple right there. Isn't that awesome? And speaking of beautiful couple, I'd like for Ikaika to come and bring what's-her-name with him. And I'm sorry, I can't remember her name. This is a thing I have with names. When it comes to her, I can never remember her name. Now, the thing is, if you don't know me, you don't know that I'm joking, because that's our daughter right there, okay? And her name is Noelle, and somehow she took on the name Ski, all right? So we call her Ski. But anyway, that's Noelle, and that's Ikaika, and they are the Kuanachors, okay? That's my daughter's new name. Isn't that cool? From Hawaii? We got Hawaii going on. So it's pretty fun. So they're newly married, and just in their first year of marriage, they've been able to go through this. So I want us to hear from both of these couples about to get married, just recently married, you know, what the Lord has been doing to equip them for their lives together. So first of all, I won't call you by your last name yet. We'll just call them Lyndon and Kay for right now, okay?
Praise God. Just he really has set me and Kay up just with so many great examples of married couples, both young and not so young. Just kidding. Experienced. So we just thank God for so many role models with so much great experience and advice that's godly and it just shows us how to live a godly marriage. And just know that whether there's any fights, there's any trials or tribulations, because there will be trials and tribulations. You know, marriage isn't perfect. It's hard work. God's always going to be there for both of us. And we just lift it up and give it all to him. So,
I just really praise God for this wonderful resource for us, because I feel like, well, my mom and dad, before they got married, they never got to experience it, and they said that I wish that we had gone through this. But I thank God. So I thank God for this opportunity.
Okay, so I've really enjoyed this life class. It's just been a really fun way to kind of, work through your relationship together and figure out what you're doing and, you know, what things you're doing right, what things you're doing wrong. Everyone's sharing their own experiences, and we've just really gained a lot from it. It's also fun, too. It's not just a boring notebook you're going through. You get to listen to a comedian, you know, say things in the funniest ways of how people really are in relationships. So it's just been awesome, and get to eat with each other. And I feel like it hasn't only benefited our marriage and relationship, but we've connected so much more with other people in the church from it. We just really enjoy coming because I've gotten to know, you know, Karen better and everyone else. And so it's just been really fun, Kate and Lyndon. So it's awesome. I like it.
It's always the hardest to go last because everyone hits all the points. But no, this life class has been such a blessing to us in our relationship. I've learned a lot about Noelle, good and bad. And also, you know, thankful for all the not so young couples that instill knowledge in us, you know, helping us out. And yeah, I'm just so thankful for this and for the fellowship that we have and getting to know each other and their relationship and their personal stuff, you know. So yeah, if you're thinking about doing it, I suggest you should. It's great. It's really a blessing.
You guys, thank you. Thank you. We want to honor Gary and Susan, who are in California right now, for being the moderators of this, and Jessica and Renan for being the moderators. These two couples have taken the younger couples through, and like you heard, have shared their kind of life experiences as well. So it's been awesome to see, you know, these marriages being built on a solid foundation. And when a tough time comes, they'll have that foundation to draw on and all that perspective. So we're excited about that. So can we just give the Lord a thanksgiving for that? Amen. Josephine, can you come and join me? Josephine, come here if you would. Come here. I asked her to share with us earlier. I don't think she knew exactly what I was suggesting, so I see the surprise on her face. Josephine, come here and stand with me, and I'll be with you, okay? I'll be right with you. Are you a little nervous right now? You are, yeah. Isn't she lovely? Isn't she lovely, Josephine? Josephine is newer to Embassy Church. Just the last few months, she's become a real beautiful part of our church family. Her son Lenny is also a part of the church. He's working out his job schedule so that he can be here on a Sunday-by-Sunday basis. And just a thing about that, by the way, if you have jobs that are taking you out for Sundays, I'm just going to ask you if you would consider praying and saying, Lord, give me favor on my job so that I would be released to be here Sunday after Sunday. And then don't worry about it. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel nervous about it. Just commit it to God and watch what God does. Because I look in the New Testament and I see that it says that they gathered together on the first day of the week. And that was almost like the minimum connection that they had with the body of Christ, gathering together. So pray about that if you would, that the Lord would give you the freedom to gather together, including Lenny, Josephine's son, that he'd be able to be here Sunday by Sunday, okay? So Josephine is newer to the church, and she has become a part of the life class called Alpha, which is an introduction to the Christian faith. And I just want to ask her, what did you think about Alpha, Josephine? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Did you think it was good? Did you think it was bad? Just give us a little thought on what you thought about Alpha, if you would.
I love the class.
What did you love about it? Was there anything about it that made you really love it?
Because we learn more than Jesus. So the classes show you, because it's every time you know about Jesus, this we never finish to learn about Jesus. So I love the classes. I recommend the class to another guy right here, and they is Hispanic. They come in, and yes, because I like.
And you're inviting people English, Spanish?
English, Spanish, and then my English is not beautiful, but I understand.
How many of you think she did an amazing job just communicating right now? Amazing. Isn't she adorable? Come on, I'm telling you what. Josephine, what a sweetheart. God is good, amen? I'm excited about this. I'm excited about people having a place to go, to grow in their life, to grow in their relationship with the Lord. So it's awesome stuff. Winnie, can you come? Winnie's going to share about Wednesday night. I'd also like either Alex or Karen, you could decide between the two of you, to come and join. You guys talk, because both of you, there was one Wednesday night. We're studying the book of Romans on Wednesday night, and both of them shared. We need to let people know what we're studying here, you know? And so one of you can decide, and then just come and join Winnie. Winnie's going to share about Wednesday night study in Romans, but also she's going to study about the evangelism that she's involved in, the opportunity to share Jesus with others that are down at Washington Harbor. So she's going to share about both of those things. So can we appreciate Winnie right here? From Winnie from Egypt, Winnie from the UK, and Winnie from the US. Amen.
And I'm not a public speaker, but I'll do my best. So I'm truly blessed by the Wednesday night Bible study. I mean, it's the highlight of my working week. It's so lovely to come here on Wednesday and just here to study the Word of God. And you're such a good teacher. And Pastor Dave gives a very detailed study, and it's interactive, and he gets us thinking and asks us questions, so it's really a lovely time. And we've been studying Romans, and Paul wrote this letter to the Roman church to prepare them before he went for his visit, and he explained to them what he believed, what his understanding of the Christian faith was, and the practical implications. And he went to them and spent some time, and then he was preparing them, and then he wanted them to help him go to his mission trip to Spain. So that was one of the, I think you were saying that a lot. Yep. Yeah. And then Paul, he said he was called by God to, you know, witness and to share the good news. And the good news is Jesus, and he was human because he was a descendant of David, and then he was God because he was raised from the dead. And he kept mentioning good news, and you kept saying good news is the gospel. So good news is the gospel, and the gospel is how God gets right with people through faith, through Jesus Christ. So we learned all about that. And then we learned about that no one will have an excuse to be judged. And I remember you asking as a question if someone lived in a remote area of the world and there was no Bibles, no Bibles, no books, they hadn't heard of God at all, would they be judged and punished? And we thought about it, and then in the scripture it says that no one would be excused because God reveals himself through the things he's made. And we can see it through nature and creation. So creation was the first evangelist. And no one would be excused because everybody has to seek. I remember you saying everybody has to seek after God and find him. And then we took some time on the gay marriage and homosexuality and how the church should make a stand and say that this is wrong because it's all in scripture, it's wrong. But we should have compassion for the gay people and love the sinner and hate the sin and have compassion and seek to win the lost. So we've been studying about that and about the law and the Jews and the Gentiles. And how about the Jews do have an advantage over the Gentiles because God did give them the message to keep his message. So they have an advantage, but they're not better than the Gentiles because everybody's a sinner. And then we spoke about Abraham and how God... Abraham, he was made right with God before he did anything good. So it's by faith. So that includes everybody else. You don't have to be a Jew. So things like that. It's been really good. I don't think I'll ever forget every verse and what it means.
I'm getting more than I expected because, I mean, she's sharing a lot of the themes we've been through. And I wasn't going to put her on the spot with this, but because of what she's, you know, the capacity that she has to share all this, can you share out of chapter 5 a little bit of the theme that we're in right now, where we are? Yeah, you know, the whole new reality from the first man to the second man, Adam, to Jesus, you know, what that means. The ruling and the reigning, the dominion, the grace. You want to share some of that? You want me to? Yeah, you know, we're right now, a lot of people skim through Romans and they get to chapter 5 and there's some technical things and they miss it, but really coming in with Jesus came in the age of grace, and under Jesus, it's sin that rules us and death rules us as a result of sin, but in Jesus, grace rules us to life, and so now we are not ruled by sin and death. We are ruled by grace and life through Jesus Christ. And so that'll change your whole life. If you begin to live not under the dominion of death and sin, but under the dominion of grace and life, that changes everything. That changes your worship. That changes your outlook. That changes your behavior. Everything about you begins to be recalibrated. Even in your relations with others, you say, no. I'm living under grace. I don't have to go along those lines. Like, I'm living under grace. God is going to help me to be a winner, not a loser. So good study on Romans. And then share about Saturdays if you want.
I've been going down to the Washington Harbor for the past year. And there's amazing opportunities there to share the good news. It's so wonderful down there. You have students from all over the world. You have people coming to attend conferences. We have local people. We have tourists. And it's so exciting and fun. And people are so open and they want to share. And my specialty is reaching out to Muslims. So there's lots of them there. And it's been amazing. Last August, I was sitting on the grass with a family from Saudi Arabia, just visiting their son who's studying here, and I was sharing with them, and I was so happy with the Youth for a Mission who came out with me, and we were just sharing, and they had questions, and we were answering their questions, and it's really wonderful. It's a wonderful opportunity. I'm looking for people to join me as well.
You know what? She just said she's not a public speaker. She just said she's not a public speaker. And you would be amazed, because you can see her saying, oh, this is not my comfort zone. And so I don't know that she's likes to be up in front of people, but when you see her at Washington Harbor walking right up to people with such boldness, you know that's the power of the Holy Spirit. Because she would rather walk up to a total stranger at Washington Harbor than to walk up in front of you and public speak. Do you see the difference right there? But when she's out there, she's going up and engaging people. So when we were out there with Marianne, and who else was with us that time? Shirley was with us, and we were all together. They looked to me to start conversations, and I said, no way. She's the one that starts conversations. She got us in conversation with people from Afghanistan and Morocco and all these different places. And a great opportunity to share. So anytime you want to go to Washington Harbor with Winnie on a Saturday night, she's there weekly. You could be with her anytime. You can go once a year, twice a year, once a month. My goal, but I've said to her, I want to be there once a month with you guys, going out there on a Saturday night, and then I go in other directions with other ministry. So great opportunity. Can we give her a hand, Winnie? Amen. Jesus, you're so worthy. Feel free to just lift up your voice right now and just say, thank you, Jesus. 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 Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for doing that work at Washington Harbor, God. We thank you for doing that work, Lord, and Josephine and others in Alpha, God. We thank you for doing that work, Lord, on Wednesday nights, God. We thank you, Lord, for doing that work, God, in our couples, God. We thank you for doing the work here on Sunday mornings, God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us your word, giving us surgery in our hearts, God, healing us, Lord, operating on us, God, correcting us, Lord, God. Lord, whatever ails us, God, thank you, Lord, for taking care of us, for curing every disease, physical and spiritual, God. Thank you, Lord God, for the great work that you're doing in our lives, God. Thank you, Lord, that it's being lived out, God, in our jobs, God, and, Lord, in our homes, God, in our relationships with family and friends, God. Thank you, Lord God, you're taking care of everything, Lord, by guiding us by your word, which is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, God. Lord, thank you, God, for leading us and guiding us by your holy word, God. We give you praise, God, because you're worthy of it all, God. You're worthy of it all, God. In Jesus' name. Once again, can we say amen, church? Amen, and feel free to be seated where you are, except for Paulo. Amen. Paulo's going to come and just share with us, reflecting back on 2014, some most momentous experiences in his life and with his wife, and he's going to share with us. And, you know, I had this on my heart. I just felt like Paulo needed to share, and I felt this very strongly, and I felt like it needed to happen this Sunday. And so I talked to him early in the week, and I said, Paulo, I just feel like you have something to share. And he says, I already know what it is. He says, I'm already prepared to give it. And so that's the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so Paulo's going to share with us. Can we give some love to Paulo?
Yeah. Amen. So I have ways to give thanks. I got married in March. We're following behind you. But I got married in March with my wife, Michelle, Maya's sister. And that was something to give thanks to. Joining YWAM DC, having a community of people, that was something to give thanks to. So there's so many things, having a place to stay in the apartment here, that's something to give thanks to. When we have people in the community, people like Collins and my wife, you have accountability. There's stuff to give thanks to. Having this church, you have ways to give thanks. So I have a lot of ways to give thanks. But as you know, October was a tough month. If you open your Bibles to James chapter 1, verse 2, and the question is, can you give thanks when you're going through trials? Chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. As you know, a lot of you guys know that I lost my son in 17 weeks. I can't remember my son's date, but 17 weeks ago, I lost my son. And I used to read this chapter, count it all joy, my brothers, when you go through different types of trials, different kinds. And I was like, oh, that's easy. But when I lost my son, it was the hardest thing ever. So the question is to you, can you still count it all joy through trials of any kind? Can you still go through trials when losing someone? Can you still go through trials with anything that happens into your life? It was the hardest thing, but they say thanksgiving and joy is worship. And one of the beautiful things that I was able to do, that the Holy Spirit just dwelled in me to do, even through the loss, even through a hard time, is worship. When we get out of self, it's worship. When we don't deal with self and the thoughts in our hearts and the thoughts in our body, it becomes worship. Yes, there's anger. Yes, there's truth like, God, why did this happen? Why did this happen to me, Michelle? But because I have Jesus, there's thanksgiving. Because I have Jesus, there's joy. It's hard to explain it, but having Jesus gives us thanks. Having Jesus gives us joy. So even with the loss, David said, my child will not be coming, will be able to come to me, but I'll be able to go to him. So that's the joy, knowing that I will be able to see my son at his age, at the age that he'll be up there, and I'll be able to count it joy. So the thoughts of joy is the worship. So even through the trials with family members, trials with relationships, marriages, work, find a place where in your heart, in your mind, where you can count it joy through all types of trials. And if you can't, you just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, right now I need you at this time. I'm upset, I'm angry, I am sad, I'm disappointed. I need your help to find joy in this trial and situation. And then at verse 3, it says, for you know the testing of your faith and produce steadfast. It will produce steadfast. It will produce patience. Your trials and faith, it will produce it. That's the joy. And let your steadfast its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Doing this honor reward, we think about all the material things. But just think, we will not lack anything. Just think of the joy of how much we will gain through this trial. Every trial that we go through, he will help us to grow even stronger than before. And I can help any individual to grow stronger. If anyone ever loses a child, they can come to me and I can help them and encourage them. Count it to our joy. Let me be patient. I know that right now sometimes I can't see losing my son how this is joyful, but in the long run, I'm able to see something different. I'm able to help the next individual who goes through this. I pray no one goes through it, but it happens through sin, through the sin nature of Adam and Eve. But count it to all joy through trials. Thanksgiving is still there. Thanksgiving is still beautiful. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. I don't know how people who don't have Jesus deal with loss, because I had a hard time, and I have Jesus. But yet worship is still in me because of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to give a prayer of thanksgiving to y'all and just pray that the Holy Spirit lifts you up through trials. The Holy Spirit lifts you up, and the Holy Spirit allows you to give thanks even through the situation of your job, your family, your work, any situation that you're going through, that in thanksgiving, that in joy, you can still give thanks and say, thank you, Jesus, that you love me, regardless of what is going on in my life. Get out of self and worship him. Put him on the pedestal. Put him on the high place. And remember, I know it's hard, but ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need your help. I just lost my son. I need your help to continue having joy and thanksgiving at the time of trial. Amen? Amen.
I'm going to ask you to do something in addition to what you just did. You made reference how the Holy Spirit gave you a scripture about David in the Bible. Can you make sure that everyone knows, maybe not everyone knows that story, and can you share a little bit more about that and how that related to you? And just so you understand, in case you don't know, Michelle is at work right now. In case you don't know Paulo and Michelle got married last March and were to have a baby on the day, one day later than their wedding date, a year later, okay? And so you know the excitement of that. And only 17 weeks into the pregnancy, lost their little guy and held them in their hands. We were there to see that. Melissa was working there at the same hospital as a nurse, and I was there as a pastor, and then family members were there, and we saw them hold little Isaiah, that's his name, and so tell us the story of David and then how that related to you, if you would.
Well, in my heart, we had to figure out to find peace, and the Holy Spirit gave us peace at the hospital when we lost the child, and the thought, and then also Gary gave the confirmation in through the card that David had sinned and had buried a child. And the child died. And before the child died, David was mourning because God says, I'm going to be taking your child away. And David started to mourn, and oh, woe is me, mourned through dust in the air, had sackcloth over him, was just lowest of the low into just mourning. And says, please, please save my son. Please, please don't do anything with him. Please don't take him away. If don't take them, whatever you can do to keep them. This is a paraphrasing, but if you scripture it, you'll see it. And then one of the prophets came up and says that your son is gone, and that he knew that the Lord had him. He wiped his face clean and gave thanks and worshiped the Lord, and says, my son will not be able to come down. I won't be able to see him, but I will be able to go see him in heaven. I will be able to go see him. And there was that promise that made him have the joy that he will get to still see his son. Even though he lost him here physically on earth, he would get to see him in heaven. And that's why he was able to wipe his face, wash his face. And that referenced to me a lot because it's just, again, there was that peace. After he realized his son was gone, that he had that peace. That's, okay, well, the Father's will is better than my will. That the Father's will is he has the son. The Father said, I'm going to take your son, and there's nothing that I can do. It's your will now, my Lord. I love you, and I trust you. And I wiped my face, and he feasted. He mourned so hard that even though all his servants were afraid to come to give food to him give him the news that his son was dead. But it was told, and he wiped his face, and they were surprised by the joy, because he counted it to all joy through trials. So that was a perfect for us when David losing his child, but yet still worship the Lord, how we lost our child, and yet still worship the Lord.
Can we say amen to that? Was it Eric Clapton? I don't remember. Will I See You in Heaven? Lost his son and wrote a song, Will I See You in Heaven? And that song will be sung for who knows how long. And it seems like there's never an answer. This man has the answer to that song. Will I See You in Heaven? That's why he can still have joy. Because he knows that he will see his son in heaven. And the only way you can know that is if you know the one who came from heaven to earth, who died on the cross for you, and who rose from the dead. I've never met another person who was certain of heaven, who was certain that they were going to heaven. The only ones that I've known who have that expectancy with joy, that confidence, that not only is there a heaven, but they're going, are the ones who know the one who came from heaven and who died on the cross and rose from the dead. That's the only place that our faith becomes concrete, not just wishful thinking or asking a question about whether we'll go to heaven or not or whether there even is a heaven. The only one that gives you that confidence is the one who was given by God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I want us to pray right now in response to what Paulo has shared today. Paulo is going to be praying for you. I'm asking Paulo to be praying for anyone who's going through a trial, that the Lord would not only see them through, but give them joy in the midst of that trial. Amen? And so right now we're just going to pray this. Father, I pray that, Lord, it would be a regular experience that every Sunday in this place as we gather together, Lord, you will bring somebody through us or invitation, however you're going to do it, we pray that you would bring somebody who would come in here every Sunday and come to know the good news of Jesus and receive salvation in this place. We pray for the work of your Holy Spirit to bring people to this place and then at this place to not only offer them eternal life, but to have them receive eternal life in Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, for anybody here in this place who doesn't know you, Jesus, personally, it doesn't know that you died on the cross for them and that you rose from the dead, and that through that can not only change their earthly life, but give them a certainty that to know that they have eternal life in you, Jesus. Lord, we know that your Bible says that this Bible was written that you may know that you have eternal life. And so we pray, Lord, that everyone here would know that they have eternal life through Jesus. Father, we pray, God, that you would forgive us of what we've done wrong, that you would come into our lives, Jesus, that you would change every one of us. But we pray, Lord, and especially for those who don't have a relationship with you personally, that, God, they would receive you this day and put their trust and faith in you, because you're the only one who can give us eternal life. In Jesus our Lord, we pray. Can we say amen? Amen. Pastor Jessica is going to come, and she's going to lead us in prayer. She's going to be praying for you. She's going to be praying for you, your lives, your families, your loved ones, for each individual here. She's going to be praying for you to receive what God has for you and just to be blessed. Can you say amen to that? And then she's going to be praying for Embassy Church. We're excited about God's work in people's lives here, but we also know that December has yet to happen for this year. So we're going to be praying, going into an amazing month of ministry at Embassy Church. We're going to be praying that the Lord pours out His Spirit in our Christmas Sunday services, on our nativities, the living nativities outside with live animals and outreach to the community. We're going to have live worship for our nativities. We're going to be praying for people outside for the presence of God to fill their lives. It's going to be an awesome, awesome month. So Pastor Jessica is going to come. She's going to lead us in a time of prayer for you and for Embassy Church. And then after that, as a way to close, we're going to give to the Lord, okay? You might have noticed we haven't had our time yet for our time of giving, our offering, our tithes and offerings. And by the way, if any of you are visiting with us, here can be your contribution. If you have a guest card that you need to fill out where you can come to the offering plate when others are giving their tithe, and if you want to fill out a guest card, just to give us an email address or phone number so we can be in touch with you. I love talking to people during the week that have been here on Sunday. And so feel free to connect with us that way. And if you don't know where they are, hospitality team, can you raise your hand? Those of you on the hospitality team, there's Kevin. He's got one. Joe has got one. Susan. And so see them, and they'll take care of you for that, okay? All right, Pastor Jess, come and lead us in prayer. Can we give some love to Pastor Jess as she comes?
Hallelujah. When Pastor Dave said, can you lead the people to pray? And then I've been struggling, Lord, what kind of prayer I don't know their needs. I've been asking my husband, what do you think would be best to pray for God's people at Embassy Church? And this morning I was just there and said, Lord, I don't want to make my own prayer because it's Pastor Dave told me to pray for you. Lord, I what do you want? What do you want to say to your people? What kind of prayer? Just lead me. Just show me. You know, I have this book 18 years ago, and I've been reading about Charles Spurgeon, a British preacher who lived in 1800. And I have his book about this prayer, but the Lord has been leading me to tell you this. I mean, we would be celebrating the holiday. We would be celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus, you know? And it's his birthday. And if you're going to be asked, what kind of gift are you going to give to the birthday celebrant? What would it be? What would be the greatest gift you think Jesus would be happy to receive? And it has been in my spirit, because every Friday we would come gathered together, you know, with the Filipino, and I would ask them, what's your prayer? What's your prayer? What's on your prayer list? And almost, you know, everybody would say, for the salvation of my loved one, for the salvation of my father, salvation of my mother, salvation of my friends, of my family. And this morning, it was just, Lord, what would be the greatest gift indeed that your people can give you? And then it's the Spirit of God impressing in my heart and said, what if my people would just go there, lay down and say, Lord, can you save my unsaved loved one? Because that's the soul that you can give to Jesus. Soul. We cannot take anything, you know. We cannot even have a purse or our pocketbooks or our bank account to give to the Lord. But we can take souls with us. We cannot just say to the Lord, Lord, nothing but leaves for you, Master. That we have to bring fruit So instead of I can say the prayer. We can say the prayer that Charles Spurgeon prayed. See how in 1800 he prayed this prayer? We can pray this. The look of faith. But one thing we can start December 1 with is looking back. Lord, my father is not saved yet. My mother is not saved yet. My sister, my brother, my employer, my friend. And if you are that person, can you raise your hand? Do you have a dear loved one that is not saved yet? And that you would like to bring to the feet of the Lord? And I mean, it's so, you know, it's heart-rending to sing all these songs and yet think back, oh my Lord, my father is not saved yet. How I wish he can be here singing with me the song of the redeemed. My relative, my Lord, how I wish you would, we can sing together. We can, they too can sing songs with the angels. I know that it is God's, it's the Holy Spirit's conviction, and it's God who's going to save them, but we can pave the way by our prayer. By our prayer. So before I can indeed pray, I would challenge you. All of us will be pastor. All of us will be intercessor and bring at the feet of the Lord the salvation for unsaved loved ones. You can be on your knees right there on your chair, or you can be on the altar. Maybe we can go proceed for those who have this burden and the cry, Lord, save my father. Lord, save my mother. Or my friend, have somebody in your mind that you can ask the Lord, Lord, if there is one gift this holiday that I can give you, would be the soul of this unsaved person. Can you do that? Can you do that? Each of us can just be there and kneel and say, Lord, God, and if you have somebody who have followed the Lord and yet backslidden, take it to the Lord. It's the heart cry of God for you to think about them and say, God, save my uncle. I still have unsaved relatives, and I'm still praying for them. Never giving up. But let's do that today. Can we do that today? Can we just humble ourselves and say, God, my joy would not be complete if I cannot see my mother get saved. If I cannot see my brother or my best friend get saved. And before the eyes of the Lord, you can say, for a day in my life, I have knelt down at Embassy Church, November 31st. November 31st? 30. November 30, I have knelt down and prayed for his or her salvation. And his blood will not be on me. Can we do that? I just don't know, Pastor, how to do it. But it is the Spirit's wooing and calling us to pray. Before I pray for you, pray for your unsaved loved ones. If you just do not know, just go there and say, Lord, into your feet, I bring my unsaved loved one. And then after that, we can pray. Can you do that? Who cares for his unsaved loved ones? Who still has unsaved loved ones here? Unsaved friends, unsaved relatives. Love them by praying. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Take this challenge. Come on, go ahead. Go take the altar. Let's not be, just be selfish and say, huh, I don't care, whatever, I am saved. No, you should care because you are your brother's keeper. You are, we are our brother's keeper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before your feet, Lord. Before your feet. Hallelujah. 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 You are worthy of it, O Lord. You are worthy of it, O God. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Break the yoke of slavery, Lord, on my uncle's life, Lord. You're worthy of souls, Lord. You're worthy of souls, Lord God. Oh God. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. You deserve the glory. Lord, as we enter into this holiday, Lord, may we bring souls, Lord. May we bring souls unto thy feet, Lord God. For indeed, you don't require material things, Lord. You don't require our works, O Lord God, but heeding your word, Lord, heeding your word is more important than fighting the war, O Lord God, for we only can have conquest, Lord, if we heed your covenant, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, we have listened to your gracious words. Truly, your paths overflow with abundance. Wherever you are, mercy abounds. Before your feet, rivers of grace spring up. When you come to man, it is with the fullness of pardoning love. You bid us come and seek you while you may be found. And so we come now. May your Holy Spirit help us. May Jesus lead the way and be our mediator now. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. There are many who sought your face many years ago. We have since then tasted that you are good, that you are gracious. And we know by delightful experience that you do indeed give milk and honey to such as trust you. Lord, you have been full of truth and faithfulness to us throughout every step of our journey, and through you have not withheld the rod of covenant from us. We are as grateful for that now as for the kisses of your lips. You have dealt well with your servants according to your word. Blessed be your name forever and ever. But there are some who have never come to you. They are hearers, but hearers only. They have listened to gracious invitations thousands of times, but they have never accepted them. Say unto them, Lord, thus far have you gone, but no farther will you proceed in your carelessness and trifling. Here you will stay and turn unto your God. O Savior, you have all power in heaven and earth, therefore you can, through the preaching of your word, influence the hearts of men. Turn them, and they shall be turned. Oh, do it this day, Lord. We would now in our prayers come to you. As we came at first, we would come again. We would renew our vows. We would again repeat our repentance and our faith. And then look at the brazen serpent and touch but the hem of your garment. We would begin again, O Lord. Help us to do it in sincerity and we confess we are by nature lost and by practice ruined. We are altogether as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We would be at those dear pierced feet. We would lie at those dear pierced feet, bleeding at heart because of sin, wounded, mangled, crushed by the fall and by our transgression. We confess that if you would number our sins against us and deal with us accordingly, we should be sent to the lowest of hell. We have no merit, we have no claim, no righteousness of our own. Jesus, we look to you. Oh, that some might look for the first time, and those of us that have long looked would fix our happy gaze again upon that blessed sacrifice in whom is all our hope. Dear Savior, we do take you to be everything to us, our sin bearer and our sin destroyer. We have not a shadow of the shade of a hope anywhere but in you, your life, your death, your resurrection, your ascension, your glory, your reign, your coming. These are the only stars in our sky. We look up to you and are filled with light. But, oh, you dear, dear Savior, we dare not turn to ordinances. We dare not turn to our own prayers and tears and almsgiving. We dare not look to our own works. We only look to you, your wounds, Emmanuel. Bleed the balm that heals our wounds. Your crowned head once girt with thorns, your body once laid in the silent tomb, your Godhead once covered and concealed from man, but now resplendent amid triumphant hosts. This we gaze upon. If we must perish, trusting in you, we must perish. But we know we cannot, for you have bound up our salvation with your glory. And because you are a glorious Savior forever, none that trust in you will ever be confounded. And we do trust you now. If all our past experience has been a mistake, yet we will begin at the cross today. If we have never had any experience of you before, we would begin today. Oh, hear, Lord, hear our prayer. Dear Savior, draw reluctant hearts to you, let sinners fly. By his agony and bloody sweat, by his cross and passion, by his precious death and burial, we beseech you, hear us now. We plead with you for some that are not pleading for themselves, O Spirit of God. Let it not be so any longer. Now sweetly use your key to open the fast closed door and come into men's hearts and dwell there that they may live. We have 1,000 things to ask. We should like to plead for this nation. We should like to plead with you for the sick and for the dying, for the poor and for the fatherless. We have so much blessings to ask, but somehow they all fade away from our prayer just now. And this is our one cry. Save, Lord, we pray. Even now send salvation. Come, Holy Spirit, to open blind eyes and unstop deaf ears and quicken dead hearts. Father, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Holy Spirit, take of these things of Christ and reveal them unto us. We gather all our prayers in that salvation through the blood of the Lamb. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.